by Stanvic. You just approve the prompt on your phone and enter your Stanvic PIN. No cash, no cards, no drama. Stanvic works wherever you shop. It's quick, safe, and 100% digital. Cardless, cashless, seamless. Activate your mobile banking to enjoy Stanvic by Stanvic at all Conte pay points. This time check is brought to you by Stanvic Bank.
18 hours, here's the main news.
The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters. Absa.
You need a bigger space to grow your business. You need more equipment to mix demand.
You need to make sure everyone gets paid on time.
In business, you need advice, solutions, and sector expertise when it matters. We get it. Absa Business Banking.
Good evening. The headline. Government assures public on safety after lifting of PSV night driving ban. Police intensify 24-hour patrols after attacks on Levimon Awasa Medical University students. And in global news, EU approves 90 billion euros loan for Ukraine as pipeline is turned on, ending deadlock. With the 18-hour main news bulletin on Phoenix, I am Pedro Mugando. Transport and Logistics Minister Frank Tayari says the lifting of the night driving ban for public service vehicles does not amount to an abandonment of safety measures, but rather a shift towards a more modern and balanced approach to transport regulation. Giving a ministerial statement in Parliament today, Mr. Tayari says the decision is informed by several key developments, which include substantial development in road transport infrastructure across the country that support safer travel, including at night. Mr. Tayari adds that increased adoption of modern vehicle safety technologies, such as tracking technologies that enable real-time monitoring of driver behavior and vehicle movement, as well as enhanced enforcement capacity, provide a more robust, sustainable basis for managing road safety risks. Further, Mr. Tayari says the continued enforcement of the night driving ban have had unintended economic and operational consequences, constraining the efficiency of the transport sector, thereby prompting a revision.
The lifting of the night driving ban is, therefore, not an abandonment of safety, but a transition to a more modern, balanced, and effective approach. This decision reflects government's commitment to responsive government, one that listens, adapts, and acts in the best interest of the people.
Home Affairs and Internal Security Minister Jack Mwimbo says the Zambia police has intensified both foot and motorized patrols on a 24-hour basis in PHI, Mtendere, Kalingalinga, and surrounding communities following reported incidents of criminal attacks on students at the Levimon Awasa Medical University. Mr. Mwimbo, however, says that a total of 8 cases of burglary and theft were reported by the Zambia police between 2024 and 2026, involving students of Levimon Awasa Medical University residing in off-campus boarding houses, with only one case of rape involving a student reported in 2024, and the matter remains under investigation. He says of the 8 cases of burglary reported, 6 occurred between January 2025 and January and April 2026, and that property, including laptops and mobile phones valued at approximately 48,000 pacha, were reported stolen, with all victims being female, who reported that unknown criminals broke into their boarding houses during the night. Mr. Mwimbo says in response to these incidents, a multi-sectoral approach has been adopted involving the Ministry of Education, Home Affairs, Gender Division, and the University Management. Among them, relocation of students to low-risk areas, deployment of plainclothes police officers, student safety awareness campaigns, and engagement with boarding house owners on student safety. She adds that the university has begun entering public-private partnerships, PPPs, to construct safer boarding houses for students, and that government is hastening the construction of student hostels.
In response to these issues, government took immediate and decisive action to address the safety, security, and welfare of the students. A multi-sectoral approach has been adopted, involving the Minister of Education, the Minister of Home Affairs and Internal Security, the Gender Division, and the University Management.
The Zambia Police Service says it is assessing both the positive and negative outcomes of the suspension of 22 roadblocks nationwide, which were removed as part of efforts to curb corruption, extortion, and traffic disruption. Police Public Relations Officer Gosi Chilabi dismissed claims that the decision has undermined the public safety or weakened crime detection, including the apprehension of stolen vehicles and the trafficking of drugs and other illegal goods. Mr. Chilabi explained to CNC News that the temporary pilot program was introduced in response to complaints from transporters and passengers over delays and inconvenience caused by roadblocks. He says the reduction in roadblocks does not mean law enforcement has been weakened, adding that the police are instead relying on other crime-fighting strategies such as enhanced intelligence gathering and increased motorized patrol. Mr. Chilabi further says police stations along major highways have been directed to intensify patrols to maintain security and prevent criminal activity.
Does it mean that once we remove our officers, or we shut down some of our security checkpoints, there are other, you know, avenues that we apply in terms of, you know, using our intelligence, internal intelligence and police, and more detecting crime? The Zambia Police Act, the 107 of the laws of Zambia, Section 21 and 22, still gives the full powers of police, how would we allow it to move, you know, on the road and conduct such activities? So just a caution, not a caution to members of the public, not a caution. It's not a Pandora box now that, you know, it's a free for all. So then the question is what is going to be.
Public-Private Partnership, PPP Council Director General, NDCL Ngalenga, says government has introduced small and medium public-private partnerships aimed at increasing participation by Zambian contractors. Ms. Ngalenga has told Phoenix News that the approach is designed to encourage local authorities to originate projects, allowing more Zambians to take part in infrastructure development. She explained that the move will help decentralize development while building capacity among local firms across the country. Ms. Ngalenga adds that three Zambian concessionaires are already involved in projects in Kasumbalesa at the border, where Zedmark is on site, Sandstone on the Lumwana Kandimba Road, and Fable on the Katete Chanuga stretch, with local companies taking a leading role. She says the initiative is expected to create jobs and ensure more benefits from PPP projects remain within Zambia.
To come up with small and medium PPPs, meaning that we want to encourage these sub-national governments, the local authorities, to come up with projects, meaning that the local Zambians will participate in this project.
In global news, Ukraine says it has resumed pumping Russian oil through a pipeline into Hungary and Slovakia, bringing to an end months of deadlock over a 90 billion euro loan seen as vital European Union support for Kyiv. Soon afterwards, EU ambassadors meeting in Brussels gave preliminary approval to the loan, as well as a 20th package of sanctions on Russia, officials say. Although the funding was agreed last December, Hungary's Viktor Orbán slapped a veto on the payment in February after Ukraine said damage caused by a Russian attack had brought supplies to a halt. The BBC now reports on this and other global stories.
EU ambassadors have approved a $100 billion loan to Ukraine after Hungary dropped its veto. Budapest dropped the cash when it stopped getting Russian oil through the Druzhba pipeline that crosses Ukraine. But oil is now flowing for the first time in 3 months. At least three container ships have reportedly been targeted by gunfire trying to transit the Strait of Hormuz as Iran continues imposing restrictions on the key waterway. The BBC has verified two vessels that have separately come under attack by Iran's Revolutionary Guard. There's been no formal response so far from Iran to President Trump's extension of the ceasefire, but several officials have expressed skepticism. One MP said negotiating with the U.S. was detrimental and irrational.
This is the 18 hours news.